Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 45 Episode 12 recap. I am seeing nothing but smiles in our chat over here. And by nothing but smiles, I mean, my God, it's so glorious to see people hate D when D has been queen forever. There's never been another option, right? It's always been D.
D is like the most dominant. I don't want to say she's the winner because I don't want people to think I'm spoiled, but like she's like dominating this. I wasn't looking at the chat until 9 seconds ago and you referenced it. Like, I think it's great. Well, I don't know what people's problem is with this. I think it's incredible. This is the it's so cool to see the manipulation, but not in like I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a really, like, I'm very impressed that 45 seasons in, this can still happen. And the dynamic is really good. And what's so cool about her relationships with Julie and especially her relationship with Austin is we're kind of seeing what didn't follow through with Jesse. And again, this might not follow through. She could be Jesse here, but she is all eyes on the prize. She is playing to win, and she might still get the guy in the end, and she might still get her mom.
I don't know.
You think so? He looked sad.
He looked pissed. I don't know how they rebound from this one. He's going to be real pissed because he was in the exact same spot she was in last week and he told her. So for her to not tell him, that's a low blow. That really is a low blow.
Yeah. It'll be tough, but I think he doesn't really have an option. I mean, what's so devastating is I feel for Austin. I feel even worse for Jake. Keturah and Jake, like, they didn't even get a reaction shot after Drew went home.
Yeah. Well, because that's so tough. This was supposed to be Keturah and Jake's big move, and instead it ends up being D's move. Like, D is going to get credit for this because, yeah, Jake and Keturah were a part of it. But if D had said, you know what, I'm just going to go with the other guys and I'm going to tell Drew and Austin, then Austin would have just played his idol for Drew. And they would have stayed in the game and Julie would have went home like they wanted, or Keturah or Jake would have went home. So Keturah and Jake are going to get absolutely no credit for this move. And honestly, I don't really think they deserve much credit for this move. I think that they brought it up, but it came down to D being on board for this to be the move that was successful the way it was. If D's not on board, this move doesn't happen. So it is D's move. It is. And you can like that. You can hate that. But Wences Acosta says D isn't winning. There's no way this cast is that dumb. I am on board right now. I don't see anybody other than D winning at this point. I literally can't envision another winner other than D.
I don't know what would make that dumb.
I think letting her get to the end at this point would make
I don't necessarily think that's a dumb thing. I think it's probably like a rebound of what this is all because there was a very, very loyal alliance. That's where this came from. And I think that's been a rebound of there being no loyal alliances. So maybe people are finding this boring. I am finding this very, very interesting because this is calling back to Phil, the type of Survivor that you and I love, where yes, there are alliances, but there are real reasons why they cannot stay in their alliance. And it's good. We have like this kind of emotional side. We have the petty side with Drew and Julie. It's a great episode where the person who thinks they're the kingpin goes home, and Jake and Keturah, like, they've got a great idea. And then again, they get stepped over. But I mean, Keturah, she's here for the ride and I love it. The cut, the best scene or the best cut this episode was Jake being like, you can't tell anyone. And then Keturah and Deer like, okay, 3, 2, 1, Drew. So cute.
Yeah. Yeah, so it just shows how out of control Jake's game is right now. People in the chat are talking about they think Jake has a chance to win.
Oh, he seems to have disappeared.
Final five.
Hi.
I think that was you.
Really? I feel like I was fine.
I don't know. Oh, no, maybe it was me.
Yeah, you're a little grainy right now.
Okay, let's see what happens then. Sorry about that. But I think the only way that Jake can win is if he uses that idol to get rid of D at final five. That's the only way he can win, because that would be the biggest move in the game and you'd have to respect that.
Yeah. And he's had his eyes on Julie for a while, but his target of Julie was born out of him wanting to disarm D. So it would be a really good, I guess like it would be nice to like close the loop, but I agree. I think that would be the only way that he could win. And now it sort of feels like we're at the point where if anyone is sitting next to DFDs, even in the final three, there isn't much of a point. And there's definitely an argument to be made for Austin, but she pulled one over on him tonight. It's her and Julie. I mean, for what it's worth, maybe Julie has an argument against her. But I don't know if Austin does anymore.
Yeah. And sorry, if my thing keeps cutting out, I don't know why that happened in the Owen episode too. So hopefully that was a one-off and not an actual issue. But I think that Julie could still win because Julie played the idol successfully and single-handedly sent home Emily and then rebounded enough to not go home at the next tribal council, despite not having an idol. So there is some gameplay going on there from Julie. I think Austin's dead in the water now. I think Austin is absolutely done. Austin sits next to D or Julie, he's not going to win. I think the only way Austin can win is against Jake and Keturah. And I don't even know if he's necessarily going to win against Jake and Keturah at this point. I think he would get probably all the Reba votes, but you would still need to find one more vote for him of that 8-person jury. So I don't know. I don't think he can win. And I don't think, I personally don't think Keturah can win. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that, you know, there's people who are trying to look into the edit and look into that stuff a little bit and talk about Keturah, but Keturah is getting like a very okay dragged along edit. I mean, Keturah is not coming out of anybody's mouth because nobody's concerned about Keturah winning this game. And we're not getting content from Keturah the way that we got from Gabler back when he won season 43.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a new Keturah, and we're definitely seeing some new life. And I mean, she had me convinced for, like, not she, but like they had me convinced for a scene. She was like, I'm here to win. Like, I'm doing this. So she wants it. I think it's just very much too little too late, but it would have been cool to run this season again, because I feel like we've actually been watching Premier Keturah the past episode and a half. But there's nothing now. And I don't really know what her strategy is. And for what it's worth, I don't know if there's much for her to go off of.
Much
for her to work with.
Well, and what she was missing tonight, which was a big miss on her part, Jake is saying, no, we need to be the one to make this move. We can't let this be D's move. We need to place the votes. We need to make this happen. Don't tell D. And he was saying, don't tell D because he doesn't want D to go tell Austin. That's what he's telling Keturah. But really, Jake is saying, we can't tell D because we need to be the reason that somebody goes home. D can't add another thing to your resume. And what did Keturah immediately do? She immediately ran over and told D. Mm-hmm. You are not going to win that way because D is outplaying you in every facet of the game. So you can't keep giving her ammunition to make her resume better. And that is exactly what Keturah is doing. Jake is trying to think differently than that. Keturah is not. So I don't really know what Keturah's strategy in the game is right now, because who she's aligning herself with to get to the end is somebody she has 0% chance of beating when she gets to the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What do you think of Julie after this week? Where do you think she stands?
I think she's doomed still. I think she's probably going to get fifth place, because I think if you're D, the only person who can beat you is Julie. And if you're looking at it from D's perspective, send Julie home at 5 right now. So I thought D's gameplay, and I tweeted this, but I want to make sure that it's like really understood. I think D's gameplay tonight was absolutely incredible. I really do. Yeah. And I'm talking about especially early on when she had just she's lying to Austin's face. And yet she is making Austin think that he is truly her number one, despite Austin knowing that she is still kind of close with Julie. She is then turning around and making Julie feel that Julie is her absolute number one, despite Julie knowing that D is feeling really close to Austin. So the fact that she's able to balance those two things and still have them on their side is a very good thing. But it worries me for Julie next week at Final Five, because if D is able to convince her still, like, look how good we are. We just got rid of Drew. I didn't tell Austin. That's how close I feel with you, Julie. Julie is never going to see it coming when D said, okay, now I'm voting for you. She is never, ever, ever going to see it coming.
Yeah, this episode felt a little like the Ben playing secret agent in Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. And I love when this happens. Like, it was really fun. And they were both in on it. It felt very equal, which I think also made it really fun. But to your point, I think Julie is it's odd to say that she's becoming more of an island, because the person who like really wanted her gone is now gone. But I think all of her trust is in someone who has shown that she will cut off someone that she very well might be dating after this to win $1 million.
Yeah. No, and Dee's done a phenomenal job of playing the social game so good that nobody's taking her seriously as a blindside threat. They all feel so comfortable with her that they can't believe it. And Drew was pissed when he got voted out. Good. He should be pissed. Ellie and Drew, let's go. Let's be angry.
I love it.
Yeah, and maybe we'll get to see Drew's face on the jury bench, because the Katara or the Kendra and Kelly facial expressions are starting to drive me a little insane. I'm a little
it's getting to be a bit much, because now it's like it's every time they say something. Like they cut to Kelly saying, like, what a good question. And that's I forgot what the question was.
If you're watching this video, my face is exactly the face they make every single time. And that they cut to it every time. Everything can't be that shocking. That's the thing, right? Like when Eliza Orlins had her moments back in Fans versus Favorites,
they had a reason.
There were shocking moments. This isn't like this idol play by Austin with the mouth dropping and everything. And it's not as awesome as.
Yeah. They're cutting to them so much. And it feels like more than usual. I don't know if you agree, but it's just
so much more than usual. People are texting me about it, saying, why do they keep showing those three? And they're only showing Caleb, Kelly, and Kendra.
I know, they're kind of like cutting out. I know. And I saw Mike Bloom's tweet that was like, Emily's at the DMV. Like she didn't win, and now she doesn't want to be there anymore, which is, for what it's worth, like she's probably taking her civic duty very seriously. And I appreciate that. But yeah, it's just, maybe it's because none of these vote outs have been very shocking. There have been a few shocking moments, but I am not jaw dropped on the screen. So it feels weird that others are, but very different situation. Yeah.
So to get back to my initial point before I got distracted by that was my fault. I couldn't help myself. And I'm glad you agree with me, because I know you love Kelly.
I wanted to say something. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you agreed. But so Drew's pissed. But I think Drew is such a gamer that as soon as Drew realizes what happened, there's no way he's not voting for Dee if they're sitting at final three. He would vote for Austin over Dee. I think that would happen. But if Dee is sitting at final three, no matter who she's against other than Austin, if it's Julie, I don't know if he'd vote for Julie. Maybe he would. He's not voting for Katara, and he's not voting for Jake over Dee because he's bitter and he's mad. It's not going to happen. Drew is going to put it together, say, holy crap, it was Dee who got me. And she was playing that good of a game that I never saw it coming. I mean, we have a confessional of Dee saying, I hate lying to Austin. I don't mind lying to Drew. And the next thing we see is her and Drew on the beach. And Drew going, it's in our hands. We got it. It's over. This is amazing. I can't believe it. And she's like bouncing up and down in his hands the same way she is with Katara. She is playing a phenomenal social game. And she's just catching people off guard. And Austin is being blinded by love. That's happening. Like, it is what it is. He's attracted to her, and he has no idea how to think now that he's attracted to her. Drew isn't, though. Drew just really was. She was able to pull the wool over Drew's eyes. And I'm telling you right now, Julie goes home at Final Five, it's going to be because Dee pulled the wool over her eyes. So I am thinking that Dee is going to get to the end, and I could see Dee. People always talk about who's your zero vote finalist. I could see Dee being a unanimous winner in this situation, unless she sits next to Julie, because Julie does have the really epic idol play and she's still got some game left. But if Jake can vote Dee out of the game with that idol, he jumps up these rankings. Katara, to me, and Austin are the only two drawing dead right now. I don't think Austin or Katara can win, but I think the other three still have a shot.
Yeah, I think for Austin, I think it's very dependent on who he sits next to. But in the new era, Phil, it's a requirement to have a 7-1-0 vote. So
that's true.
Maybe Julie, maybe it's like D, Julie, and whoever, and Julie grabs the one.
Pulls a Chrissy, Christy from Amazon, doesn't understand the rules and votes for Katara to win at the final three, thinking he's voting her out. So
my nemesis.
His nemesis gets the
challenge. Me, you, and Gabler were wrong, though. This was not Julie's time to win immunity.
No, she didn't end up winning. And I'll tell you what, the challenges tonight were great. Awesome, that first challenge was awesome. Love the effort that's being put into challenges this season. As Carson starts up his puzzle store, puzzles have died on Survivor. So Carson, thank you for killing the puzzle on Survivor, because it was important. And I know we still got the slide puzzle and everything like that, but it was different from what we've seen.
The barrel racing thing was fun.
And that final immunity challenge, that's a tough challenge. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to do that. Your hip just wants to die the entire time you're doing
it's
that.
It's so, absolutely, I know, it like tightens up so much. Yeah, that looked hard, but D was rock solid and no toes involved. That was all, it was all muscle. So yeah. I thought that was great. The barrel racing looked like a really good, it reminds me a bit of, they stopped doing it, but that one where they have to like untwirl themselves and get all dizzy, mm-hmm. where it's silly and it shouldn't be hard, but it is really hard. The whole time I was like, wow, Sierra Dawn Thomas would have been perfect for this.
Yeah,
and exactly. Absolutely nobody else.
She would have just
yeah, but Austin flew through it. And we got I appreciate the attempt at making a more fun reward. I appreciate the helicopter. I love the flyby. I'll take a sand spit over the sanctuary. I'll take that.
I was stoked that they went on a helicopter, that they did all of that. Like, yeah, thank God. And when he said it would be nice to eat this back at camp, I was like, oh my God, is he really about to say, but you could go to the sanctuary instead.
Yeah, pick and choose.
I'm about to just jump off my couch and head first, you know,
onto the floor.
3-inch dive. Yeah. But I was so happy when he didn't say the sanctuary. Like, part of me came back to life and I said, oh my God, there actually is some creativity left in the bones of the people doing rewards, because we need this. This is awesome. It was cool. It was fun to watch Drew get like so pissed off as they're flying by and not even wave.
So mad.
Really? Because you know what? Going to the sanctuary, I'm not going to be that mad if you don't tag me, Alexa. I'm really not.
Come on, Phil. We can have a good time.
If you go on a helicopter and you're going to a sand spit, I'm really not going to be mad you don't take me, because I don't think I'd ever get in a helicopter. But also, if as a normal human being, I'd be so much more frustrated that you're not taking me on that reward. So Drew, who understands the reasoning behind not being picked, still wishes he would have been picked, because getting on that helicopter and doing that is so much more enjoyable than any other reward we've seen literally since season 40.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that is upsetting, but you gotta be, I'm thankful for what they can do. And I think I'm with you, Phil. If there was a challenge where I would win a helicopter, I would throw it, because neither of us are getting on a helicopter ever, yeah. But
I'll swim to the
that team. That is an experience. That is something like not many people go on helicopters in general. So that is something I can go home and tell my family rather than I ate a turkey on Thanksgiving in the sanctuary, yeah. You know,
with my hands, with no sides and with no,
with no sides, no gravy with that. No, we'll complain about that.
Hand right in, going full scary movie 2 on that thing. So I just, yeah. So that happened. I think Austin made the right decisions. He takes D. Great. That just shows how blinded he is. He probably should have taken Drew, but also D is a better social player. So you take D because you feel closer with both. He feels close with D, Andrew. It doesn't matter. But taking Keturah, I feel like, was the smart move, because he said, Julie, Jake, and Drew, they are not going anywhere. There is absolutely no chance that the three of them were all going to work together. We see Jake and Julie. Jake had the great line of the night of, I'm a fun babysitter, Julie. That was fantastic. That was a huge fan of that. But the three of them were never going to get together. It was never going to happen. So it was the right move. If he sends Keturah back with Julie and Drew, there's a little bit better of a chance that those three get together, because Drew and Jake just don't like each other at this point. It's very clear. Mm-hmm. And Keturah, I feel like, would have been able to maybe, I don't know, mend that gap a little bit. But then again, I don't know what game Keturah is playing at all right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think this was a great boot episode for Drew. I completely agree with you. It was, he should be mad. And it was also fun to see him like ridiculously overreact and throw the pot just because he didn't get chosen on the reward. But then there was something there. He was like, I know why I'm not chosen, but I don't know why I wasn't chosen when I was in middle school. Like that hits that. I feel that. I think Gordon Holmes tweeted something like that. He's like, finally, something relatable.
Yeah.
But like be mad. And I really liked that. So as much as this was a really good, like, gratuitous Drew content episode, but it was good. I loved it.
Oh my God. Did they bury him in the edit though?
Oh, they
it was so obvious. He was
it was
home.
So good. It was, but how many times have we talked about this? Like that made it good. I was like begging for him to go home by the end of it. And I liked that. I thought that was good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy though. How many, every confessional was, wow, Drew's going home. And then everything we saw on the island was, wow, Drew's going home. Like Drew was just getting demolished by the edit in the second half of that episode. I felt bad for the guy. And I'm going to be honest here. You know, one of the few times I'll be real in an overly positive way. I feel bad for Drew with the reaction that he's gotten in some of this community. I think it's been harsh on him for really no reason other than the fact that he's a nerdy guy who actually has confidence, which isn't what we're used to seeing.
People don't like confident people who they think should be not confident.
Yeah, like
it's very weird.
A confident know-it-all, but yeah, good for
and
him.
He said he's a know-it-all.
Yeah.
The first thing he said was, I'm the smartest guy in Survivor. What did you want him to say? What did you think he was going to say?
And you know what? He also has self-awareness, which a lot of people that the Survivor community latches onto don't have, because he's also at the end of that game saying, this is your classic case of a young guy coming out here with way too much confidence, thinking he's way better than he is. Good. I'm glad. And I'm happy for him. And you know what? For a young guy who is probably seen as like the nerd and whatever he was saying, he's the goon. He's going to beat you up. He's the mob leader now. As a guy who's seen that way in his everyday life, good for you to go out there and be ruthless and play the game hard. I'm all about it. And you know what? Like, I didn't think Drew was ever going to win this game. I don't even necessarily think Drew is like a top whatever character you want to say from the new era. But good for Drew. And I'll sit here and I'll defend Drew wholeheartedly, because I think he's gotten hated on for zero reason this season.
Yeah, it definitely is. I appreciated that he was like, I think you guys want me to have learned something, and I didn't really, or like have this life changing. And that's true. Like this guy, he went on Survivor and he didn't win and he's mad about it. Like, and that's kind of like what a lot of Emily's exit press was too. She was like, I didn't think there was this big community. I went on to play Survivor because I was mad somebody won. And she was like, and I didn't win and I'm mad about it. Like that's competitive nature. So good on Drew for being true to himself. And again, he's an overconfident, is he still in college kid? Like what did you want him to be? I thought he was very entertaining, that he was very true to himself. And I think a lot of us have a lot more in common with Drew than it sounds like people want to. So I really appreciated him. I'm very bummed that he's gone. And I appreciated rooting against him this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, and just to get a quick troll in, got to stretch out my arms now that I said something positive.
I know, slow down.
Here's a comment from our newest patron, Jimbo Slice. Drew is the best Reba player. He's the only one trying to eliminate people that could beat him. Now, anybody who remembers Jimbo back a couple weeks ago kept on saying that there's no way that the final four isn't going to be the Reba four. And I was like, I don't know. And I said, if they're not all in the finale, there's a new patron. He said, deal. So, hey, here we go.
Ooh, Phil remembers. Phil with the receipts.
Jump in there at the $1 tier that's only going to be around for another 18 days. But you
might do it while you can.
Right? I want my damn dollar, Jimbo.
Phil gets 30 cents out of that.
I do. But I really am. I mean, being so up, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. Also, I really am in agreement there. I think D is the best player. I do. But I think that Drew played a very good game. He just wasn't as well thought of by everybody as he thought he was. That doesn't mean he was negatively thought of, but he's playing with an all-time social player right now. And he didn't realize he was playing with an all-time social player right now. He thought Austin was the all-time social player and he could be the brains to that. He didn't realize that D is the all-time social player and he didn't get close enough to her to go far.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he got a little tunnel visioned with the Julie thing. That was very much. And I think this happens. He got what he wanted up until tonight. And he said that. He's like, I pretty much chose who's gone home every single time. And that is true. And when it finally doesn't go your way, then he's mad. I think if he could have taken a step back and said, okay, this didn't work. Maybe I could work with Julie. Maybe we work our way around this. Instead, he just got really mad, as humans do.
Yeah, as they should. As they should. And you know what? I'm all for raw emotion on Survivor.
Please.
I talk about that all the time. I do feel that some people, they're always thinking, am I going to play Survivor again? How is this going to affect my image in the real world? Blah, 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 blah. Social media has really changed the perspective. when you go out there. You have to think about it. You don't have a choice. If you say something now, you could get in a lot of trouble. If you said something in season one, you weren't going to get in much trouble. It wasn't going to happen. I mean, Jervis was calling people cows, and tonight he's got a new name. He's Gervais.
Gervais
is still getting mentioned on Survivor season 45, and he called women cows in season one. And he played again. Everybody likes Gervais, whatever you want to call him, Ricky Gervais. But that being said, you have to think about it more. So I am always appreciative of when people are going to be fully, fully themselves.
When he said that, I was like, how many duos are there in Survivor? And you chose Tyson and Gervais. But then I was like, okay, for what it's worth, he's going for the male opposites attract here. And it took me a second. And I was like, yeah, I guess I would have picked those guys also.
Yeah, that one's a good one, because if you think about other male winners, what other male winner sat next to somebody at Final Three that they ran the table with in that same way as those two?
Yeah, there's not a lot of two guys running it, unless we're missing something crazy. But I know, I was like, Malcolm and Denise. And then I was like, oh, that's not the reference he was making. Yeah. So I'm sure people on Twitter are having a field day with that. I will check that after this. But
yeah, it's Gervais.
But yeah, I was like, wow, someone called Gervais.
Yeah. So in terms of people playing the fantasy game, just to let you know how many points were tonight, Drew said Gervais, Tyson, JT, and Steven. So that's four more points for Drew on that front. And then
you and I did not pick him.
Austin absolutely dominated from the photo perspective. Remember, we give 5 points if you get a friend in a photo. So that he had one photo of like 12 friends. It's only 5 points because it's just one. So that's one. And then Austin had 4 child photos. That's 9 points from Austin just from photos tonight.
Those were great, great pictures too.
Trav Harrod.
Oh, Dominic and Wendell. Where I know Wendell listens to us too. He's going to be mad that we didn't say that.
Yeah. Now the next time I see Dom, I'll have to say, yeah, man, your time has passed, because I forgot that you and Wendell dominated a season.
We thought about Gervais before you.
Thought about Gervais before that. My God. Anyway, I also think that Drew might have only seen like 4 seasons of Survivor before this, and Tyson happened to be on the season with JT and Steven. So his brain might just be going to token chains, and then Gervais just pops in his head because he knows Gervais goes to the final three with
you. Tyson. Think Drew hasn't watched every season of Survivor?
I don't know if he's watched all of them. I would like to know this. Drew, let's get Drew on the horn. I don't know if Bruce still
preseason content. Get around the horn.
Bruce blocked our channel now that he's out of the game and he doesn't want to listen to our nonsense anymore.
He has mysteriously disappeared.
If he's still here, please call up Drew and ask him if he's watched every season, just for my own sake. I just want to know.
I assume he has, but that is a major assumption. So I'll look back on his preseason content and see.
Alexa stereotyping nerds. Here she is. Can't help
herself. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Jake's idol. So Jake found the idol.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. We can do that first. You want domination from Wences Acosta. You can't forget Ty and Mark from Koh Rong. That was domination. Talk about domination. Okay. Jake's idol. So we get him going and searching. He finds a clue in the exact same spot as where Bruce found his. Is that what I'm being told kind of here?
Is it? No, because Bruce found his in the camp, in the tent, shelter. Jeez, shelter.
My concern is, though, Jake said, I went and looked here because it was like the same spot that Bruce found his. And I said, wait, they wouldn't be lazy enough to hide it in the same spot, would they? And then he found it. He got it. He went over and he had his fun with the thing, got an idol. I'm okay with, a clue that leads you directly to it at this point. There's not enough days. You got to hurry up and get there.
Oh, you think the clue is where Bruce found his clue? Oh, the idol. Oh, God, that's lazy.
I think he said it might not have been the same spot, but he said, I started looking in the bottom of these trees close to where Bruce found his.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Well, it sounds like you got. We'll see. We'll see what Jake's. What happens when Jake goes home. But
Jake found the idol, and immediately it was, I can't just play this for myself. I got to make a move with it. Jake knows exactly. Great where call. He's-
yeah, Jake. Yeah. Jake's. He's there. The ideas are there. It's just there's no one with him.
Yeah, it's like he's playing Monopoly right now, and everybody went around the board and bought all the properties, and he really knows how to play Monopoly, but he doesn't have any properties to make deals with anybody. So he's just sitting there and he's hoping that he'll knock somebody out when they have to pay him $5 and he can take their properties because he's got nothing going for him. So he finally gets a little bit of power. He just bought Boardwalk, right? That's what he thinks. He's got the idol. So he's thinking, I got the best property in the game. But now you got to find something to do with it because that's all you have. You don't have anything else. So for me, I think Jake, I said it, he's got to take out D with this idol. And if at Final Five, D wins immunity, I don't think there's a big enough move he can make with that idol that will ultimately get him votes at the end. Because if he takes out Julie, great, you took out Julie. But that's not a massive move because Julie's been on, she's been on people's radars already.
Yeah. I feel like unless he, I don't know. He needs three people. I don't know if Julie would turn on him, on turn on D. I don't know about Austin. I don't know if he'll work with her, but I don't know.
But if he plays the idol, he doesn't need anyone, right? Because he could get it as a 4-1 if he convinces people to vote for him, or if he can find out where the votes are, if they're going to Keturah, if they're going to him. He's got to assume it's going to go to him or Julie, right? So then he would be making the deciding vote, which is where it would be his move.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. We'll see, because otherwise it's going to be a little like Austin's idol tonight, where I was like, maybe you should just hold on to it until the final tribal and try to Marianne it a little, even though it wouldn't necessarily be the same thing. But you also have Kelly on the jury. And I think that maybe helped, like the fact that he played it. So I don't know. I didn't think he was going to play it for Drew, but there was enough pause that I was like, maybe he's going to.
If he would have done it for Drew, that would have been pretty incredible.
That would have been pretty incredible.
I don't know where he would have gotten that information, but I also think, because part of me said, will D go tell Austin, and then Austin will do the exact same thing D did, where he will play the idol for Drew, and Drew will then be safe. But then it proved, I think D made the right call, because I think had she told him, I think he would have went and given the idol to Drew. I think he would have cared enough to keep Drew in the game and get Julie out. I think that would have been better for Austin's game. And he would have said, that was my move, not told Drew it was coming, and then play it for Drew. And Drew go, what are you doing this for? And the votes come out 4-2. And he goes, what? I think he would have done that had D told him. So good on D to know that she had to lie, and she lied at the right point. Jimbo did say, signed up for patron. Can't wait for all my amazing Survivor benefits. They're coming.
Great time to be a patron.
You're about to be overwhelmed with Survivor content. So get excited for that.
Exactly. That also, if he did that, that would have been kind of the exact same thing that happened with D and Julie. I can't believe D got away with no one figuring out that it was her. There's no one on the island, and they still didn't realize that it was D who told Julie about the vote.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, she played it perfectly. She sat there and she looked pissed and she told everybody, it wasn't me. But I do wonder, then who did they think told her? Did they ever come to a conclusion of who told her?
I don't know if it just kind of died. I think that happens sometimes. Like there are these lies that kind of just disappear into the night when everyone's like, okay, well, someone's lying and we can't figure it out. So that's my guess. Because who else could it have been? There's no one left.
Emily is the only one, but like, is Emily going to tip off that, hey, Julie, they're coming for you? Yes, they could have been, but wouldn't Julie then want to keep Emily?
Also, Emily doesn't throw a stray vote. So,
So it doesn't make sense. The only person it could be was D, unless Julie's just like really, really smart. So I don't know. I think Austin had a big time wake up call tonight. Mm-hmm. I think it was just a little too late. I think Jimbo said, I think Austin knew, and I think deep in his heart, Austin knew, but I don't think Austin wanted to admit that it was D who did this and that D betrayed him. And so I think Austin had a big wake up call tonight. I just think it's a little too little too late. I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Yeah. I don't know if there, I just, the theme of this season is that the non-dominant alliance has not been able to pull it together. And even though that dominant alliance is broken now, there is still a dominant player or dominant players. And history in this season shows that people won't be able to make a move against them.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's like, okay, now Austin says, I'm going to take Keturah and I'm going to take Jake and I'm going to vote out D. I don't know if Jake's going to, I don't think Keturah is going to do it. One, I think Katara, Julie, and Dee would be fine going to the final three together. I think all of them would be okay with that. And I think Katara, that's her ideal final three right now, even though she'd get zero votes in that situation. I think that's her ideal final three. But so I don't think Austin can pull it at this point to get Dee out of the game. So now he might realize, wow, I've been getting played this whole time. But he doesn't have the ammunition anymore to take out Dee or to make a big move. I don't think there's a big move left in Austin's future, which is why I think Austin's out of the game or out of the running to win the game. He's obviously still there. He can sit at final three, but I don't think he can win the game. And I'll be honest, if he sits next to Jake and Katara, he's probably going to sit next to Jake and Katara because Jake made a massive move. And I think Jake would actually beat him.
Do you think so?
I do. I think Jake would actually beat Austin at this point.
I don't know. I can't tell with this jury. I feel like this jury's been gone. Maybe it's because this jury is made up of the non-Reba alliance minus one. But like, who is Caleb going to vote for? Who is Kelly? I cannot get a gauge because there aren't none of these people are really aligned to each other. I'm fascinated.
Yeah, I do think based on what we saw with a lot of the women talk early in the season, I think the women are going to vote for a woman. If there's two women in the final, I think they'll vote for the one who played the best game. You know, and I'm not saying that the women didn't play the best game. I think Dee is playing the best game by far. But I think the women are going to vote the women pretty much no matter what at this point, because Kelly has no relationship with Austin or Jake. You know, Kendra has no relationship with Austin or Jake. If Julie sits on the bench, she's got no relationship with Austin or with Austin or Jake. She has one with Austin, but Austin's been trying to get her out now. And I think she would respect, I think she's just going to vote for Dee or Katara in that situation. Like there's no way she doesn't. So I'm kind of at the point where I think that that could end up hurting. I mean, you could have Jake, Austin, and Katara, and you could see Katara get four votes in that situation, which would be insane. That's why I don't think that final three will happen. Because I don't think Katara is going to win the season. I think that's the only iteration where she would have a chance. But that might actually be the best final three out of the bunch.
The most even.
Yeah, the most even in terms of you could get a 3-3-2 or something like that. Because there's who the hell is Caleb vote for in that situation? I have no idea. Drew votes Austin. Dee probably votes Austin. But great, Austin has two votes. He's got to get two more.
Yeah, Caleb really doesn't have much of a relationship with anyone left. And Emily, I think, is the only person who's played with everyone on the whole season. I think I read that. So Emily's probably the most like, you know, well-rounded for lack of a better term, but even Bruce, like Jake, kinda, I don't see a world that he would vote for Katara. It's a weird, like Kendra, no clue. Drew is the only one where I feel confident. Yes or no.
Yeah.
On certain people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think Drew's been the most honest with us, right? Drew has told the audience exactly what he's thinking almost the entire season. So I think that is making it easier for us to see where that would go. I don't want to give too much away because I'm hoping James Jones is listening to this podcast to prep for Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. And we will be breaking down everything we think is going to happen in this final five. And James always has hot takes. I don't know if he's going to be able to hot take himself out of a D win here because he does have hot takes.
There's not a lot of options.
Yeah, Dee is lining herself up. So I'm hoping he can come up with one. But yeah, when you start breaking down the scenarios right now, first of all, it's how does Dee not make final three? So she'd have to lose fire. That's my opinion. I don't think Dee goes at five because I think if the only way Dee goes at five is if she doesn't win immunity and Jake idles her out of the game. But I also think she's had enough of a finger on the game the entire time that she'd be able to figure out a way to split or do something because the votes aren't going to be on Jake. So they have to convince Jake to play the idol that he's playing the idol for the right person. So, we're all going to vote Julie. Then they just don't vote Julie. You know what I mean? So Jake wastes his idol on Julie and Julie doesn't do anything. So I struggle to not see her get the final three, but if she doesn't get the final three, Julie dominates if she sits next to Katara or Jake or Austin. She probably wins it 7-1. She really does. I think she kills them. But those other three, I just don't know. So it's, can they get Dee out before final three? They really have to get Dee and Julie out before final three. And I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I really don't. So it doesn't feel like it's going to be a crazy finale, but because I feel like there's two people who definitely won't win, one who definitely will, and two who I feel like probably 6 out of 10 on. But
yeah,
I care about everyone in the finale, which is a change for sure. Even Katara, who I think there's no chance of winning, she's very captivating to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I agree with you. And I, you know, as I troll and go, but I think this is a great point by Jimbo. It's been a long time since a winner telegraphed this much, so there has to be a reason behind it. Either A, huge upset and she doesn't win, which we saw with Jesse, or B, producers think D is playing an all-time great game. And the one thing that producers were ripped for the puzzle stuff last year, and that's why they stopped doing it. Because they got ripped, and they might act like they don't listen, but they listen. They're listening the fan.
They act like we don't impact the decisions.
It's impacting the decision. It might not be the two of us, but Rob's impacting them then. The Twitter community is impacting them. Reddit is impacting them. But I think B is a great point, because the other thing they've been criticized for is editing female winners horribly. Rightfully so. Erica was terribly edited. Marianne actually didn't get a bad one, but Erica's was horrible. And I think D is playing such a phenomenal social game. I think the 90 minutes made their job easy, because you have an extra half hour to show the game she's playing. And I think they're doing a great job with it. Now, I'll be honest, this is what we were missing from a lot of the social female winners.
Absolutely.
The extra time to be able to explain their moves, because it's not going to be as exciting. It's not going to be as flashy. We've heard a lot of people complain this season, last season, this week, last week. That's what I meant. It's this season. But we've heard a lot of people complain. It's too boring. It's the same thing over and over again. But D is manipulating where all the pieces are going to fall. We don't know if that's what Michelle did back on season 32. We don't know if that's what Erica did back on season 41, because we didn't see it. Now they have gotten more time, so they can show the flash. They can show Jake finding the idol and doing that. They can show Austin and Drew getting mad and all that, blah, blah, blah. But they can also show phenomenal social game. And they are doing a great job of that this season. And I think that's why D feels so telegraphed. But also, this is the edit that a lot of those female winners in the past should have gotten.
Yeah.
Mainly Michelle.
100% Michelle. But no, absolutely. I was saying this before. They finally, assuming D wins this, they finally figured out how to edit someone like this. And it's really, I think the 90 minutes has so much to do with it. You're completely right. And it feels a bit like a Wendell situation, even though Wendell had like a lot of like active things happen near the end. But Dia's won two immunities too. And she like crushed both the immunities that she won. So she's a good combination of seeming obvious, but I really understand it too. And it's very, very refreshing.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the confessional count to see if I can get it here, because the one person I always find doesn't have it up yet. So hopefully this doesn't kill my computer and make everything slow down to a screeching
while
halt.
Phil is looking this up. This was actually this might be the earliest we've talked about a predictions and power rankings, because we talked about this when we were live with Gabler, and Phil just implied it now. Our final predictions and power rankings of the season and my final predictions and power rankings forever are this coming Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, joined by, it sounds like, Mr. Hot Take himself, James Jones of Survivor 43. There's been a lot of 43 action this season on our predictions and power rankings, where James is a dear friend of the podcast. He really knows Survivor, and it's really, really fun to talk Survivor with him. So there's no better person to close this season out with. So tune in Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, James Jones.
Yeah, so I couldn't find it. I really wish I could. So does that mean you want me to delete your number? Like, you would never come on to do a guest appearance on a prediction?
Oh, no. Please contact me for any and all.
Okay, because the way you said that, if this is my last one ever, it's Alexa's last one as a mainstay. Yeah, it's her last one.
Yeah, this is my last that I will be co-hosting, but I will happily... I got a new notebook for Christmas last year for podcasting, which was probably a sick joke looking back. I got to fill it with something. I got to fill it with something. So
yeah, I'm glad that you weren't able to fill a whole notebook with notes over two seasons, Alexa. What the
I know,
hell?
God, what? She just that's why I quit. It's not left to talk about.
Yeah, she's a doodler. But it's crazy. So next week is Alexa's last predictions and last recap. So Alexa's got two episodes left.
Crazy.
And then she vanishes. And as I've been saying, you know, and I'll keep on talking about it here. I've been going through and doing a lot of work with the Patreon. The Patreon's gonna look so different. If you want to go on patreon.com/survivor specialist, which the name of that is gonna change soon, but patreon.com/survivor specialist for now, go ahead, check it out. Look at what's coming January 1, because there's going to be a whole bunch of content. I have my thing written in front of me, and I think we're literally putting out 5 or 6 episodes a week in the month of January, and we're not even in the season. So if you're a $20 patron, it's going to be 5 or 6. Even if you're a $5 patron, you're going to be getting 4 episodes. I think it comes out to 6 or 7 episodes a month for all of that. So go check it out. See what it's going to be. Will, who's going to be podcasting with me next season and who started this whole thing with me, he is currently rewatching the new era of Survivor from 41 to 44 to prep. So he's going to be doing, for $5 patrons, an entire new era rewatch. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Did something just happen on the StreamYard?
No, did it?
I don't know. Sorry. Keep going.
Okay. So Will is rewatching, he's rewatching the new era. So for 41 to 44. So he's going to be recapping that, and not recapping episode by episode, but we're going to be putting out an episode that's actually going to go on our YouTube that explains what he's going to be doing. And this way you can all get a feel for him, hear his ideas and all of that. That's for $5 patrons. And it's going to be 8 episodes, 16 episodes over the course of 2 months. So literally for $10, you'd get to hear Will talk all that, and you're not even going to be talking about anything else. Anyway, I just wanted to say that, and you know, there's going to be a lot of changes coming. I'm going to miss Alexa, but this podcast is going to keep going. It's going to keep going. It's going to keep going. It's going to keep going. So just because Alexa's leaving, don't forget that I'm still here. Don't forget.
Phil's putting in more content with less person. Like, I'm not here, and I will not be doing this next year. And Phil is putting out like 6 times the amount that he and I did together. I think this is like, I can say it because it's, I guess I can say it. Like, you, this will be like an interesting rejuvenation for us. Like, it's also like, we're coming off of a great season, no matter who wins. There's a lot of life in this podcast. And just because it's changing doesn't mean it's changing in a bad way. This is all super exciting. I'm excited for this. Maybe I'll even become a patron. Hopefully I can get a discount.
Give but me that damn money back.
Yeah, I know, after all these years. But there's a lot of good stuff coming on this podcast. So stay tuned. This will not be live predictions, power rankings. I'm going to be texting Phil in March being like, why haven't you invited me back yet? So
yeah, what exactly? I'm going to wait though. I'm going to wait till you grovel. Yeah, you're going to have to kiss my shoes to come back on ever, you know?
I was saying that someone, they were like, are you sad? And I was like, no, because it's not like next season hasn't happened yet. Then when I finish an episode and I'm mad and I can't broadcast my opinions to the world, then I'm going to be like,
then all of a sudden, that's what I had to think long and hard about. I mean, I really did. And like, I was like, man, do I really want to sit here and watch other people who are so clueless spew their opinions and be the ones who are the voice of the community? No, there's no way.
It's my clueless opinions.
Yeah.
That
matter. No. Yeah. It's our factual opinions that are fact. I'm taking a page out of Kirk Herbstreit's books at this point, where it's like, no, they just don't like facts.
I saw your tweet. Yeah,
it's facts, damn it. So I'm really excited. There's no way I could hang it up. I'm really excited. And I think with Will coming back, it's a different kind of vibe. So I think people will like it. Totally. We're not going to sit there going, a lot of people are going to say, man, I miss Alexa. She was a lot less confrontational, but Will's a good time. And
it'll
for anybody
be perspective.
Yeah. And anybody who's going to like consider being a $10 or $20 patron, even if you're the $5 patron, you get into the Discord, and we came up with an idea. Instead of our retrospectives in January, I want to throw this out there now. We're going to be taking ideas from you guys. So you can read about it on the Patreon to see exactly what it is. But if you're already a patron, get in the Discord and start leaving some ideas for content you would want to hear. We're going to do it as random. We're calling it, forget it. Will's never going to listen to this anyway. And if he does, who cares?
It's 48 minutes in. No chance.
I run this damn thing. We're going to be doing something called Survivor Rock Draw, where we're going to be pretty much, we're calling it like you're pulling out of a hat, right? And so whatever topic we get is the one we're going to be talking about that time. So I'm excited for that. I think that'll be fun. And, you know, we're going to be taking nothing but patron topics. So it'll be really good. If there's something you're dying to hear talked about, it could be next year, starting in January. So that'll be fun. And
that's a great idea.
Yeah, I actually have to go recap the finale of Surviving Barstool now, so that'll be
awesome.
Fun. I have to go actually watch the episode, then recap it, and I saw earlier in here Jordan Alford said he's about to become a patron again. Well, Jordan's a huge podcast fan. Tomorrow night, John and I are going to be podcasting Godzilla Minus Zero, which was amazing and had no business being so good, and Ant-Man and the Wasp. So if you're into that, watch
Fantastic.
That. Cornelius Gaskin says you need a woman's touch. And that is the one thing we are definitely losing here with losing Alexa. Will is not a woman. So we are losing that.
Well, I'll come back on to drop the all women's alliance once every 6 weeks. Thank you, Cornelius. Yeah,
when there's a very apparent all women's alliance about to happen and Will and I then just I'll won't admit it's going to happen. That's when we need you to come back and say, guys, you're idiots. There's literally six women left in the game and zero men. And you still don't believe that it's an all women's alliance.
No, so. But Chris Doherty, he'll make it happen. Yeah,
he's still there. No, he's hiding. He's just hiding under the bush. It's all good.
Hiding in plain sight. Speaking of hiding in plain sight, go back, even though it's a predictions and power rankings, we really barely did predictions and power rankings. Yeah, why would you do that with power rankings? There were maybe 4 minutes of it. So go back and watch our predictions power rankings with Gabler last week. Obviously, we are huge fans of him. It happened to be when he donated, like the day that he finalized the donation of his million. It was just an awesome podcast. So definitely want to toot his horn a little bit more. That was a ton of fun. We'd been wanting to talk to him for a while. And we didn't 2 weeks ago because of a chainsaw accident. So that only felt right. Yeah, so we're happy to talk to him.
I was not expecting when he started that off. Nope. I was like, well, there you go. That explains that. So
I was like, Gabler, me too. Isn't that so funny?
I know. I'm sitting down here in South Florida just chainsawing everything right now as my Christmas tree dies because it's 80 degrees outside and we had it for 10 days and it can't handle it all.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. But yeah, no chainsaws here. That's
so sad. Nope.
Anyway,
tune in Monday, 7 p.m. James Jones, very excited. And become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Our Twitter and Instagram have been a lot more lively. So again, lots of rebranding, lots of good stuff. And January is going to be a great time to be a fan of the specialist. So stay tuned and we'll see y'all on Monday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.